Okay, so first speaker of the night is going to be Steve R. He tells me his real name is Steve Rogers. He's Captain America himself. And he's left his vacation home in Maryland to be with us and give some insight on his story. What are his superpowers? Not just everybody jumps on a plane and comes over to Joshua tree to attend a retreat, you know. And I'd say that's great. He's got a good program going, and he's making time to work on himself, self-love kind of thing. So without any further ado, you're Steve Rogers.
Okay. Hello, everyone. So yes, I am Steve Rogers. I have not found the super soldier serum yet, as you can tell. Still looking. But anyway, so how did I get here? I took Southwest. So, all right. No, I did tell some of my story earlier in the day, but basically where I'm coming from is I am the great-grandchild of an alcoholic, or of two alcoholics. Both grandfathers were alcoholics. My parents were not. My dad did have some drinking buddies, though, but, you know, he didn't seem to have, you know, too many. He didn't seem to be an alcoholic. My parents got along pretty well, so that seemed normal. So, you know, but I did feel like when I was growing up, I just felt different than everybody else. And like, I felt terminally unique. I think that's the name for it. And so I always, you know, I always did want to be a superhero because I wanted to, you know, be able to fix things and be, you know, take care of the bullies and stuff, you know. And I never did, but hey, I think I did turn out pretty good, I think. But the question, like, how did I get to Al-Anon? So my brother, at age 13, him and some of the neighborhood kids started drinking and smoking pot. And my mother put him into the rehab. And I did go to some, I think I went to some Al-Anon meetings there. But I don't remember exactly. A lot of times I tell people I've never actually lived with an alcoholic, but actually then I remember, oh yeah, like that is actually how I got here, because surprisingly my two best friends came from dysfunctional families, and one had, his father was in one of the wars, and you know, he had issues with drugs. And my other best friend, his parents were divorced, and his father was an alcoholic. So, but I ended up going to college at the Ohio State in Ohio. So, yeah, you have another Ohio State person here. So I ended up living with this, my neighborhood friend, and at some point he, you know, started binge drinking. And because he had he was dating this woman, and she was, you know, a friend of mine too. But it was, I'll never forget this. He said, I just want to be in a coma when I'm not with her. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like a healthy relationship. But anyway, when he started binge drinking and, you know, hanging out in his robe all the time, I'm like, this is a problem. And I was, we never got in a fight, a fist fight or anything, but I was kind of getting scared. Like maybe he would, you know, who knows, get violent. I don't know. And I tried to fix, you know, I was trying to fix him, trying to call his mom and all this rat on him intervention, whatever. But he just yelled at me. He said, you know, mind your own fucking business, you know? And I'm like, hey, it's my business too. And because you're messing with my life. But I couldn't do anything. So I did find an ACOA meeting, mostly because, you know, my mother had called me earlier on and was telling me, oh, just, you know, your grandfathers are alcoholics. And she thought she was poor. And it turns out her father would spend all, he made good money doing auto body work. He'd just spend all the money, you know, and come home and give the wife a couple dollars. They thought they were poor. She found out in her 60s when he was living with her that they were not poor. So, and that she was pretty mad about that, actually. So I didn't care about Al-Anon when she told me about it, but I did when I lived with my friend. And I went to ACOA. And that got me started. And I felt a lot better in those rooms. I could identify other people. I felt they were like, I mean, I felt different. Because I couldn't associate with like normal Americans, you know, normal American kids. And I always wanted to associate with the foreigners, the people that came in from other countries at Ohio State. So I'd always be hanging out with the French people and the people from Puerto Rico and the, you know, anybody from China, from Russia, anywhere except like Americans, like, I don't get along with those guys. You know, they're too different for me. So I never knew it was wrong with me. I'm like, I'm just, there's something wrong with me. And I felt like I needed to send myself, you know, to the military or become a, you know, go into a monastery, not a monastery, but like learn karate or something with discipline. You know, I need to get myself together. And so I was at college, you know, and I was at Ohio State for 4 years. And then when my mother stopped paying for it, I'm like, oh, I'm free. I don't have to do this anymore. And I didn't get my degree there. And I was going to join the military. I was going to join the Air National Guard. And that would straighten me out. But I literally got through the whole process. I was like, I was going to swear in. And I'm like, I just, at the MEP center, I mean, the doctor that was doing his evaluation, he's falling asleep right in front of me. Like, he would be talking to me and just nod off for like 30 seconds to a minute. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if I really want to be involved with this organization. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I have flat feet. Remember that? I don't think I should do this. So anyway, I backed out. Became a rough carpenter for a while. But then I went back home, and I found Al-Anon. I started going to Al-Anon back home and went to another college, CSU, Cleveland State University. And so, but anyway, I did join the program, or the Al-Anon program there, and I started going to meetings, like, you know, once a week. And then I met my wife in one of the rooms, and I saw her, and I was like, woo. You know, I mean, it was a God thing, you know. I was like, wow, you know, there's something about her, and I felt like she's gonna change my life. And so I wasn't in a rush to like claim her before someone else got in there first and swooped her away from me. But apparently I really thought two Al-Anons getting married, match made in heaven, right? Yeah. Not so much, but no. Well, I mean, it depends how well they work their programs, I guess. And I didn't work an awesome program. But I ended up just riding on her coattails. You know, she'd be going, oh, she would say, I'm going to this conference, this Al-Anon conference. Do you want to come? Sure, yeah, because I want to be with you. And so I'd go to the conference she went to. And this went on for years and years. And I would go to my one meeting a week, you know, and if I didn't go to my one meeting a week, and, you know, if I got like a month went by and I did not go to a meeting, I started worrying about things like, oh my gosh, you know, nuclear war. Oh man, I should really think about moving up to Alaska because, you know, gosh, they might survive it. And oh, well, this, you know, this thing, this world disaster, this, that, and the other thing. And what do they call it? Catastrophe-vision. Like that channel, like really, it turns on and it's very loud. And would have to go back to a meeting. You know, with my marriage, things, you know, I just always thought, you know, if she would just change, our marriage would be better. You know, because she's always yelling at me, and she's got like trust issues. And oh, hold on, how do I fix that? Sorry. But I, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, she has trust issues, and you know, all this stuff. I could take her inventory really well, and she could definitely take mine. And you know, things kind of were up and down, up and down, up and down. And she would want me to get out, you know, get out, you know. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, this is my house too. And I was really just too codependent, you know, basically. I'm like, I've never lived on my own before. You know, I went from my mother's house to college with a roommate to my friend that I was rooming with. And then I came back home, and I've just never lived on my own ever. I just, you know. So, and part of the problem why me and my wife didn't like how things were going was because I feel like my mother did too much for me. She overcompensated because my father died when I was about 14. He died needing a heart transplant, and I inherited his genes. You know, I got a heart transplant too, and so I'm very grateful for that. That was a life-changing event for sure. I was really in denial. Like, and you know, they say that denial, sometimes we say it's a character defect, but denial is a coping mechanism. And in one of the pages, it says, you know, God's not going to raise the whole curtain all at once, you know, because we'll like freak out, you know. And so like my higher power like takes up a little bit at a time. So I have to keep hold, you know, he's not going to let it all go at once. So my denial started lifting at some point. Like I, you know, when I got to the heart transplant thing, you know, sometimes that breaks couples, sometimes it brings them together. And it kind of brought us apart because I'm like getting this heart transplant. I'm thinking, man, this is like my second chance at life. And like, I am not going to live in a crappy relationship for the next 50 years if I could live that long. And so I'm like, I need to be in a good relationship because I mean, it was stressful. Very stressful, toxic stress. And it was literally going to kill me if I stayed with her in that state of affairs, you know? And I told her that, and she felt the same way. So we were going to separate. So I was also on prednisone when I came back. And if anyone's ever been on that, there's something called a roid rage. And it means that your filter comes off. Because, I don't know, the prednisone messes with emotions and stuff. And I was like, just, if anything didn't quite hit me right, I would spit it out right then and there. Nothing, no pause, you know. And I would cry. Like, I didn't normally cry. And so I was feeling emotions. And I'm like, man, what is going on with me? So all these things are like kind of building up to splitting us up and also making me think about what I want. Cause normally I'm thinking about how, what can I do to make other people happy? How can I be compliant? Or how can I not rock the boat? How can, you know, and don't worry about me, I'll be fine. You know, and so I thought I was like this saint, and I'm always doing good things and thinking of other people. But it turns out I wasn't. And I found out that, number one, intellectually I knew I was only part of the problem in the marriage, I realized, like, I got this gut feeling, like, oh my God, I was a big part of the problem. You know, because I would do things, like, I would say I was going to do something, and then I wouldn't do it. And I taught my wife that, hey, you know, if I ask my husband here to do something, then he'll say yes, and then I'll have to ask him 5 times, and then I'll have to, the 6th time I'll have to, like, be kind of mean about it, and the 7th time I'll yell at him, and then I'll get mad, and then I'll threaten him to hire somebody to do it, and then he'll do it. You know? It's like, how frustrating would that be, you know, as a wife? So, you know, and I just wasn't honest with her. She always called me, she always said, you're so passive aggressive. And I'm like, what is that? I'm like, I don't think I am, you know, I'm not aggressive. But it was just, you know, it was me saying, sure, honey, yeah, I'll do that. Oh yeah, I agree with you. And then I'm thinking to myself, screw that, I'm not gonna do that. You know, I conveniently forget. Oh, I forgot, or you know, or I'll agree with something she was talking about, and then it'll come up in another conversation with some people, and I'll like totally go against what she said or what I said that I'd agreed with, and then so she couldn't trust me. I wasn't safe around her. I didn't have integrity. You know, all this stuff. So she didn't have trust issues. I wasn't trustworthy. You know, and you know, that's kind of hard to swallow. And, you know, I mean, she wasn't mean and nasty just for fun, you know, like, you know, her mom yelled a lot, so I just blamed it on her mom. Well, she was raised by her mother, and her mother screamed all the time. And, but basically, she yelled because that was the only thing that seemed to work, that got through to me. But I would always say, just ask me nicely. Why can't you do that? But then she'd have to do it, you know, 6 times. So that just didn't work. So I was, you know, teaching her that she couldn't really rely on me. Also, not a good husband trait. So once I started realizing this stuff, I found out about these meetings. So she had signed up for a roundup, an AA roundup. And of course, sure, I'll go. Yeah. And then basically she backed out of it because she had something else to do. But I decided I'm going to go anyway. And it was even COVID, you know, so I'm like, ooh. And so I went and I heard all these great speakers, and I mean, they were really good, and they seemed to work this awesome program. I was like just blown away. And so I was in the hospitality room, and this woman's talking, one of the speaker women, she's talking about this situation that was like exactly like mine. Just like moving into the area and having sticker shock and buying a townhouse. It was the cheapest thing they could find, and then they couldn't sell it because prices went up, and you know, all this stuff exactly the same. And then she found another house that she was looking for on the water or whatever, and then she was trying to fix up her house and all that. But it was like it paralleled my story exactly, and so I'm like, no, I have to talk to this lady, and I did. And then we talked about doing drywall and all that crap for a little bit, but then I said, you guys work, you know, you guys in AA work such an awesome program up, you know, a strong program. And she goes, I know Al-Anon people that work a strong program. And I'm like, really? And she's like, do you want me to give you his name, the name of this guy I know? And she gave me the name, and it was, it said Jack C. And I'm like, and I'm like, okay, I'll call this guy Jack. And I called him that very same day, you know, because that was, my marriage was like, we were like about to split. I was about to do like a cross-country trek around the United States by myself. And I was already thinking about like, what, who can I hook up with? You know, like, you know, who can I, I'm looking like for new possibilities out there, you know, and, but I'm, I knew that the last thing I needed was a, another relationship. But old habits die hard. And so, but, I called Jack and he talked to me and told me some of his story about his marriage and his wife. And then he's like, you know, I'm nothing special, really. I know a whole group of guys that work at Great Program. And I'm in a meeting with them every week. Do you want to go to this meeting? And he told me the Zoom, you know, numbers or whatever. And I went, and I was, like, blown away. Like, I didn't even know they had men's Al-Anon meetings. I'm like, what is that? Like, are you even allowed to do that? Is that legal? But because they don't have them by us, you know, in on the East Coast, none that I knew of, at least. And so I went, and I really liked it. The dynamic is so much different. Oh. And just it feels great to be with a group of guys, and I don't have to not say something because I want to impress some lady, or I don't want to sound weak or whatever. I want to, you know, that I don't want to, you know, look weak in front of a woman or whatever. But yeah, so I went to that meeting. I think it was maybe it went Thursday. And then someone's like, well, someone in the meeting said, I'll see you on Wednesday. And I'm like, what's Wednesday? Oh, it's another men's meeting. Oh, okay. Yeah, give me that one too. And then I went to that one. And then I found, you know, now I'm going to like five meetings. You know, I went from one, my wife's meeting, by the way. That I stole from her because she invited me to her good meeting, and then I took over and I wouldn't leave, you know. And I'm like, it's not your meeting, it's a meeting. So, but anyway, so I found all my own meetings on my own, no help, you know. So that was good, and I've been, you know, been exposed to all you guys working, you know, good programs and talking the talk and walking the walk. And so it's rubbing off on me, and I've been reading more and found out about more daily readers. And so I feel like I'm making progress. I mean, like a year and a half ago, like mentally, I felt like I was like maybe, you know, 16, 18 maybe. Because I just feel like I felt like I didn't have any responsibility. And then now I feel like I've grown mentally. Like now I feel like, you know, maybe, I don't know, 29, something like that, catching up to my age. So that's a major, major thing. So, and so, yeah, so that's how I got here, and I'm really grateful. So I go to really late meetings now, 10 o'clock, 10:30 p.m., and I go to some CODA meetings, or I did join a CODA meeting, and but Canada meetings too, so I'm all over the place. But anyway, so that's how I got here, and I'm really glad to be here, and I'm really making a lot of progress. Me and my wife actually are doing much better. We're acting like friends now instead of enemies. We're going on dates. We're hugging each other, and our relationship is headed in the right direction now. And it's all because of, you know, this program and you know, all these things going on in my life, like, you know, heart transplant, all these major events that made me focus on me. Like, what do I want out of life? How can I change? You know? So I'm finally doing it here. So it takes a lot of pain and big stuff to make people want to be different, you know? Because, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So, but I was broke, you know, clearly. But anyway. All right. So I just want to thank you guys all for being here, for welcoming me. And, yeah, this is as good as I thought it would be. So I didn't want to go to the big man-to-man meeting because I'm like, that's too big. It's 300 guys. I want to be in something more intimate. And this is exactly what I needed. So with that, I will pass. So thank you.
All right.